I love this show.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Caitlin Patterson, P4P Real Talk, Midwest Muscle in the house. And this program is comically sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one laugh and drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, like what, Des?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream.
Check us out.
And monster cookies.
At P4PMuscle.com. And now, let's laugh some more and let's also talk. Hey, Desiree,
oh, my goodness.
Doing?
I am great. I am great. Pull it together, man. Pull it together. We do have an awesome show tonight. There's plenty of reason to be giddy. But before we get into all of that, a couple of things that we need to cover here. First off, our shout out to small businesses who support natural bodybuilding. And tonight's shout out goes to the Jeweler's Edge, and they are in Barbaroo, Wisconsin. And they are a jeweler, a fine jeweler. Not only do they deal in real diamonds, but they also deal in high quality costume jewelry. And they are going to be providing, get this, high quality custom jewelry for all of the pro overall winners at the P4P Undefeated coming up next August. So that
wow.
is pretty darn awesome. No kidding, dude. I'm just jealous now. You know, I really wanted to compete in that show, and for obvious reasons I'm not. But the more information that comes out about it, the more I'm just like, oh, my gosh, why am I not competing in this show? And this is one of them.
Right?
I would love to get custom jewelry. I really would, even if it is costume. I don't know, Kaylin, maybe you're not as excited about that, but I am super excited about that. So all you ladies out there who are thinking about it, you've got lots of time to get ready, and you can check out the Jeweler's Edge at thejewelersedge.com. And, you know, if you see something that you like in advance, show them some love and place an order.
Well, if you put me in a romper and some of them manny holes, maybe. But until
oh.
then, I'll let you guys have the bling.
A romper and some manny holes. Woo! I've not heard of those before. But anyway, so... You know, we're in the heart of competition season. A lot of great shows going on. It seems like every weekend there's another one that's churning out lots of great athletes. And coming up in about 3 weeks, we're going to have the NGA USA Championship coming up in Madison, Wisconsin. And hopefully we're going to see Mr. Caitlin Patterson grace that stage. How's your prep coming, Caitlin?
It's coming along really good, and I've added another cardio class to make sure I stay on point so I don't slack. That way I have to show up because my people love those classes. So I added another one to the week to make sure I was getting my cardio in, and you can't slack during instruction. So, you know, basically put yourself to the fire and make sure you keep going and doing the grind. So, yeah, it's going along well.
You know what, listeners? I think – that calls for a video. What do you think? Send Caitlin a message and let him know if you want to see some video of him teaching his cardio class. Because
this
I know I would love to see that video. I would absolutely love to see that. Yeah, right there on the Midwest Muscle.
If Nuke is in the class, I'll go ahead and then have him video a little bit of it. So, because it's a 5 a.m. class, so a lot of the people in there aren't looking at their very best, so they might be a little modest, but we'll see what we can do.
All right. Sounds like a plan. So, Caitlin, tell our listeners about what we've got going on tonight.
Well, tonight we have basically two sides of the coin, male, female, a mom by birth and a mom by blessing. So, tonight you get to hear what makes Des and Kay Des and Kay, because it ain't by accident, I can tell you that for sure. And God was definitely in the plan for both of us. And these two wonderful women basically have just molded and helped shape some people that you can actually deal with and actually like listening to. So thank you to our listeners for listening. But the thanks really goes to God and these wonderful women that basically put up with all the crap before we became the people you see and resemble now. I'll just say it like, so one is a mother by birth and one is a mother by blessing. I will say that, and I hope everyone understands that, because I didn't get to meet my mother until 5 years of life. So that's a blessing for me, and I hold her very close to my heart, simply because all she had to put up with before she even became to know me. So I'm really excited. I'll start with Des first, and she'll introduce her mom, and then I'll introduce mine, and we'll get this show rolling.
All right. Well, my mother, you know what? I just don't even really know what I can say, because she is pretty much my everything. We have been, I think, like two peas in a pod since the beginning. And the older I get, I think the more alike we become. And so that's a blessing. And sometimes it leads to a little more bickering because we are just so much alike. That's just the way it goes. But, you know, my mom, to me, is just one of the most amazing women in the world. I can't think of a stronger, more loving, more courageous person anywhere. And so with that, I will let her go ahead and introduce herself and say hello to everyone in listener land.
Hi, everybody. My name's Elaine. I live in Sioux City, Iowa. And boy, Des, love you to pieces, baby. I couldn't think of anybody else to share my life with than you and your brother and your sister and all my grandkids. Desiree and I started off together, I will say, at a very young age. We both kind of grew up together. And actually, she talks about being strong. Well, she was my motivation, because if I didn't have her, I probably wouldn't have become the person I am today. So we both kind of pushed each other and helped each other. And I don't know. I can't say enough good things about my big girl, because she has always been a good girl, actually. Even when she was growing up as a teenager, I didn't have a whole lot of trouble out of her either. So a little bit about myself. Oh, I've been working at my job for 38 years now. So if I ever got fired, I wouldn't know what to do, because I don't even have a resume. My joys, of course, like I said, are my children and my grandchildren. And there isn't anything in the world I wouldn't do for them. And I'm so proud of the people that they have grown up to become. And I enjoy just hanging out with my family and my friends. And I enjoy being outdoors. I love gardening. If I could afford to have a maid come in and clean my house every week, I would, just so I could stay outside. So, anyways, with that in mind, I will give you to my girl, and she can take it from there.
All right. Thank you, Mom. So, Mr. Kalen, I guess it's your turn.
Yes. You know, you heard us laughing at the beginning of the show, and it's, you know, the laughter I have comes from my mom, because she had this genuine, unique laugh. And I said she's a mother by blessing, because, you know, I came to her because the woman that gave birth to me really didn't want anything to do with me. So when she got with me, when mom got me, she basically was getting a person that was used to a different lifestyle, an upbringing of neglect, and a lot of abuse. So there was a lot of negativity that was just stirring up in my head for a lot of years. And I was very broken. I was very untrusting. I was a very dismissive individual who was basically wanting to hide away from the world because the lack of trust was just so prevalent in my life. It was just all around me. And that's all I knew because that was the life I grew up with. And she had to deal with all of that. And she had such an outpouring of love and openness and caring and concern. And just it seemed to wash all of that away. And she would tell me all the time that God had a better purpose for me than to be afraid. And God had more for my life than just being that shattered individual. And I couldn't stay in that hole. And she wouldn't let me stay in that hole. And she's like, yeah, I'm going to love you no matter what you do. I'm going to love you, so you better get used to it. And, you know, when I finally did come out of that, I came out running. I wanted to hold on to that woman more than anything in the world because this was love, this was trust, this was a mother. And that changed everything for me. And, you know, I wasn't that hidden individual, that hole in the wall. And honestly, you know, it's funny because I didn't start growing as a person in height or as a person in spirit until I met this woman. And I say that because it was so funny. I used to hide in the smallest places simply because I could fit, because my body would just not grow. And my dad had actually sat me down and told me it was okay if I was going to be the runt in the family because I was that small and that cute. So, you know, if you see me now, it's like, wow, you wouldn't believe it's almost five. But I'm going to give this to Mom now. Mom, go ahead and introduce yourself and just know I love you.
Okay. Okay, everyone, this is my name is Melba Brown, and I live about 65 miles south of Chicago in a little town called Kankakee, Illinois. I was born into a family of 10 boys and 6 girls.
Whoa.
Wow.
So there's, I have 15 siblings, and we are very close. I love all of my sisters and brothers to pieces. We're very close, close-knit. And I thank God for each and every one of them. For Kaylin is a precious gift from God. That's what he is to me. He's really, really, he's never given me any problems or any, you know, any real trouble, anything. It was kind of heartbreaking how we got them. His biological mother did drop them off on our doorstep. And when we returned home from Bible study one Wednesday night, that's where they were sitting on our doorstep. But he's never given me any problem. He's a very caring person. Anything I ask him to do, he's right there. Anything anybody asks him to do, sometimes you don't even have to ask him; he just does it. You know, he has grown so much, not just physically, but spiritually, because God has blessed. Like I said, God has blessed him to be in our lives, and just to see him in church. My biological daughter was here over the weekend for a graduation, and Kaylin was up, and he was was speaking on behalf of Christ on some issues, and then he said the prayer. He said the opening devotional prayer. And my daughter touched me, and she says, "Mom, look at all those seeds that you planted. Aren't you proud?" You know, and I couldn't express to her how proud I was of Kaylin. He's he's really precious to me. He's just a wonderful young man, and I wouldn't trade him for anything on this earth. And he's grown so much, like I say, not only physically but spiritually in his walk with the Lord. And that's one of the things that I love. I love to study the Word of God, because Jesus told us in his Word that we are to represent him, that Christians are ambassadors, and we cannot be an effective ambassador if we do not represent him in a positive way, and not just in the way we talk, but in the way we carry ourselves when we're at work, when we're when we go to the grocery store, whatever. It's not a walk that you do on Sunday, you know, Sundays. It's a everyday 24-hour-a-day walk, and I thank God, you know, for that. And I just thank God for Kaylin being in my life. I do think, like I say, I do enjoy studying God's Word, and I do enjoy being around people. I love getting together with my siblings and my relatives. I had two brothers who just should have been comedians, really. They were just that funny. They should have been on TV. And sometimes I think Kaylin needs to be on TV, because he can be just that funny sometimes. But I do thank and praise God for him. I am retired, so I don't work right now. I did work as a nurse for a while, and then I worked as a teacher's assistant for a while. And I love that. I taught Sunday school. I sung in the choir. I did all kinds of different things in the church. And I just thank God for him being in my life and in Kaylin's life. And I'll turn it back to you.
Okay, Mom.
I have a question.
Okay,
yes.
Go ahead.
When this woman dropped the boys off, did you know her?
Yes. I had met
okay.
her. It had been, I don't know. I don't even remember when I first met her. But, yes, I had met her before. Yeah. So we just pray for her. You know, we yet pray for her.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
you never know.
She knew. So she knew that she was putting her children in good hands.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yep. That's how I see it. God bless you. That's an amazing story.
Oh, praise the Lord. To God be the
glory.
Oh,
I love that story. Yeah.
Thank you.
Very good.
Yeah, I just, you know, sometimes just like Joseph in the Bible, when the things that he went through, and sometimes we'll say, well, Lord, you know, what did I do to deserve this, or why me? But we really, you know, we can't question God. He has his reasons for whatever he does or for whatever befalls us in our life. Just know that God has your back. You know, if you've given your life to him, the scripture says he's working all things out for your good. And so we just have to be strong and hang in there. And it wasn't a problem having the children. I thank God for them, because it helped to make me stronger, because I thought about my children. And you think about children in the world today who do not have a mother and or a father. And so many of them are coming up without a father in their lives, you know. And there are so many children who are being physically and mentally abused. And it breaks your heart when you hear these stories on the news, you know. And Kaylin and his siblings, they didn't ask for that to happen to them, you know. So you just have to be there to love them and to walk upright before them. Set example. The Bible tells us to train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he gets old, he will not depart from it. And that's what Kaylin did. He, you know, we would always talk to him about doing the right thing and doing things that will make Jesus happy. We'll put a smile on Jesus' face you know, you have to, the children, you have to talk to them in a children-like way so they understand what you're saying. But he just grabbed hold to whatever advice that we gave him, and he has proven to represent his Savior in a very positive way. And he's not ashamed of it.
Oh, no. Not at all. Well, Mom, that brings us to a question, because it's so many things now that coming in. But one of them is, you know, and you touched on it a little bit, but I want the listeners to understand what basically lead, because there was, like you said, you guys would come up with these ideas, and it would, you know, it would challenge us to think, and one of the things you'd always give us was a choice. And the first thing you said was, all right, you got an option, because I was a homebody, because, you know, it took a while to get me out of that shell, and I'm not going to kid you. It's not like it happened. It was some years. And one of the things is that I was a homebody simply because I thought everybody was out to abuse me. I mean, let's just be honest about it. And one of the ways you guys got me out of the house was you gave me a choice of either doing sports or doing work, and I fell for the sports like an idiot, and I really thought I had gotten I really did. But they want to know, you know, what basically have you give me that option, and what kept you, what really drove you to teach me not to do drugs? I mean, because that's, like, it's pretty much like understood that your kids are going to do drugs nowadays, and I said that's not how I was raised up, where it was understood this is going to happen. You would give me the information and basically raise me up. So, you know, what drove you to, like, really drill that in my head, and how did you get so successful in doing that? Because I mean, it worked really well.
Well, you know, experience is one of the best teachers that you could have. And I have, of my 9 brothers, 10 brothers, 3 of them, 4 of them became, they were on drugs and alcohol, and they were alcoholics. And, you know, it was heartbreaking. One of my brothers had seizures, and the doctors told him he had to stop drinking because the alcohol was killing the effect of his medication. The seizures, we find him out on the side of the street in Kankakee, or somebody had beat him up, or, you know, stuff like this. He had 3 of his teeth. He went into a seizure, and he hit his mouth, and 3 of his teeth fell out, you know, so he lost teeth in the front of his mouth. My oldest brother died of a stroke because he doing the same thing, you know. So they just, you know, messed up their bodies in this way. And I did not want to see that happen to you. And I have a brother that right now that's in Minnesota that's in a nursing home because of drugs. You know, and I did not want that to happen to you. And you know, with your dad being a police officer and me being a nurse, we just kept drilling that, not drilling it, but it would come up and we would discuss it and you know, and talk about the ramifications of drugs and taking these things that can do more harm to your body than good.
Oh, yeah.
You know. So that was the main thing. Just knowing, seeing from past experiences what happened to other, to my brothers especially, you know, and my one sister, and I did not want that to be you.
But it didn't happen.
No, it did not happen, and I just thank God for that. You listened to that advice. You listened to most of the advice that we gave you. Like I say, I really cannot say that. You were, you know, even with all that you went through with your biological mom, she does not realize the blessing that she has lost. She just does not realize it. And it's so sad. I really feel sorry for her that she doesn't know this wonderful man that you've become.
I can hear him blushing.
What? He is. And for Kaylin to be speechless, now that's something. I just have to say. He usually has words for everything. So for him to be rendered speechless, that's something.
He's just like his dad. His dad was a talking machine. So Kaylin, he's always got something to say. So if he's speechless, we better write this one down.
That's right. Well, while he's pulling himself together, Mom, I have some questions for you.
Okay.
It's kind of a two-parter. One, did you ever imagine that I would be a competitive bodybuilder? And two, what do you think about me participating in that sport?
Oh, wow.
It doesn't surprise me that you are still very athletic-minded, because you were the female jock growing up in high school, junior high, whatever. So that part of it doesn't surprise me. If there was a sport out there, you were digging in it, except for softball. You only played that for one season and decided you didn't like softball. But you were fast enough on the bases that they called you wheels and they sent you running. They would take the batter off of first base and put you in. But you grew up with such a competitive sense, and the girls that you surrounded yourself with also, I think, was a big, big part of who you became because of that. You girls, you supported each other, you pushed each other, and not only in sports, but also academically, and also to grow and to keep growing and to keep that competitiveness going so much that sometimes that caused a problem amongst yourselves, because if one was ousting out the other, you guys would get mad at each other. But there again, I didn't see really a big problem in that, because it was good for you. In fact, Desiree had a coach in high school, and there were six of these girls, and he dubbed them the minnows, because if you saw one, you saw all of them. They weren't too far behind, so they were always together. And as far as what I think of you doing this, I think it's amazing. I'm so proud of you, and I'm so proud of your determination still. And I mean, you're just wanting to do this and to do it right. And you're strong. You're very strong-minded, very strong-willed about it. And I'm sitting there watching you do your diets and your exercises and whatever, and I'm up here feeding my face with the cookies. but I'm trying.
Hey, don't let her
fool
you. She's got her gym membership, too. She's trying to get out there and do her thing, so it's okay.
But at the age of 60, I'm just, you know, I'm not dedicated into it like you are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just like with Kaylin, you have a very strong faith in God, and you've always known what's right and wrong, and this makes you who you are inside and out.
Mm-hmm.
So not only are you strong physically, but mentally and spiritually, you're strong.
Mm-hmm.
And I
yeah.
think this helps a lot also. So for all you girls out there, you better watch out, because my big girl is going to come on stage and she's going to show you who's boss.
Oh, my. Ooh, talk about some big shoes. Talk about some big shoes. But I will say this, though.
And you're
going to
be the
love.
One that they chase. I told you that. You're going to be the one that they chase. So you may not be liked very much by some.
And that's okay. But this is why I love when my mom comes to watch me compete. If I could carry her in my pocket everywhere, I definitely would. You know,
well,
and,
you were
and,
never
it, aside from
Let
my,
me put it this way. Whenever we were anywhere, you were never embarrassed to have us around or anything, and
mm-mm.
it was okay for me to sit there and scream at the top of my lungs. So most kids would be telling their parents to be quiet, but not you. So thank you for that, because I got to express mm-hmm. myself.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm going to be bringing her with
it.
Me to the Windy City Naturals. So anybody who's listening, if you're going to be there, you can meet my mom.
You'll hear me.
That's close to you, buddy. And there's a funny story I have for that. Speaking of talking about the the parents in the audience, I can remember because, like Mom said, Dad was he could talk, but he could yell even more, and he loved his sports and. We had a church league one year, and my dad, and mom, dad, reverend, well, basically the church family, and we were all out there, and, you know, Dad was talking before the game how he was so happy for us, and, you know, finally getting to see all of the people growing up together on one team, because usually, you know, it was Kankakee moments, Bradley, Bourbon, all of us went to different schools, so Saint Anne, and it was nice to see us all on one team, and we were just playing really good, and my dad was super excited, and Mom would have to tap him on his leg because he was, like, getting a little bit over the top because he was just so elated and so happy. And, you know, my Pastor Emeritus, my godfather, Reverend Rucker, before he passed, he was in the stands with us, and he just looked over at my dad, and he said something that made him speechless. It was so funny when he said it, because he said, you know, Deacon, if you sounded like that on Sunday, we'd be having some service.
Oh,
and
my
dad said nothing for the rest of the game. He was so ashamed. But Mom, I will get back to another question. And, you know, because I'm thankful, speaking of my godfather, that you, Sister Rucker, and Reverend were actually able to come to an event before he had passed on, because that meant so much to me. Because the people
mm-hmm.
that I looked up actually having the opportunity. And one of the things that someone had mentioned, and you were able to say really quickly and defiantly, was when they had mentioned, like, with my size, that, it, you know, I was probably on steroids. And this is something mm-hmm. that you already knew wasn't true even before the drug testing. And
mm-hmm.
that was a lot to do with, again, how you raised me up is, you know, what I loved about what you and Dad did is you didn't say, do as I say. It was always the purpose behind it. This is why
right.
you should choose to live a clean life. And, you know, even now that they see a little bit, but steroids and specific, because, you know, I was a really skinny kid, and, you know, a
mm-hmm.
lot of people had offered that to me, and I don't know who or what made you aware of people coming to me when I was a kid. But, you know, it wasn't that you threatened me in any way or ever said, you know, what would happen. You would always show the effects of what was going on. And what made that so important that, you like you said, where it's just not going to be a part of my son's life?
No. I just couldn't see that. I mean, like I say, just seeing what my brothers went through and what not just my brothers. There was other people that we knew that were on drugs and how they had, some of them had overdosed and, you know, and they were friends. They were acquaintances, some of them. And I just couldn't stand to see that happen to you, even though you wanted to, you know, get into the sports and get your body built up and that was not the way to go. And I just had to impress that upon you the more, because the steroids and the drugs was only going to, it was going to be your downfall. You know, it was definitely going to be your downfall. And it just would have broke my heart that, sure, you may have became all big and famous, but what's done in the dark is going to come to the light sooner or later.
Yes.
If it's not done the right way, you may, as the old saying goes, you might get by, but you don't get away.
All right.
It's going to come back on you. It's going to come back on you. And I just had to make sure that if you were going to get into that you did it the right way, the healthy way, the normal, the way that it should be done. And you've done that because, I mean, when I saw you down there on that stage, it was mind-blowing. It was like my jaw-dropping for me. I know you were big, but when you flexed your muscles the way you did, I think, oh, my. That my son?
It was like, bam!
Yeah. Where did that come from? I couldn't imagine him. I mean, the way everything looked like it just blew up. My pastor's wife, Sister Rucker, she looked at me and she said, Sister Brown, close your mouth. Because my eyes were buffed and my mouth was open and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I can't believe that that's Kaylin down there. But it was beautiful. The whole show was beautiful. I hadn't seen one in such a, you know, and I just thought, oh, my goodness, that's my son down there. That's my son.
Yes.
It was. It was a beautiful show. It was really so surprising just to see it, you know, to see him flex his muscles like that. I thought, wow. It was very enlightening to me. And he worked so hard. I mean, the boy, and he eats. He eats, but he doesn't, it's all muscle. I don't know where the food goes. Believe me, I don't know where it goes because he eats a healthy plate. But he stays toned. He stays toned, and he's he will, just as much as he eats, he'll work two or three times harder to stay in shape. Yeah, he's very determined. He's very determined. I don't know. I just thank God for him. He's something else. He really is.
Desiree could always out-eat people at the table also growing up. I don't know where
really?
She is, but, oh, yeah. This girl could put some food away. She still can. I still can. Okay. There we go.
Wow.
So, Mom, here we go. We have another question for you. Samantha wants to know if you had played any sports and if you were as competitive as I am.
Oh, well, I'm glad she asked. Oh, the acorn didn't fall too far from the tree. As I was growing up, I had three half-brothers and then my full brother. the other boys were grown and gone, but I had a brother. Oh, let me tell you about my brother. He was ornery that I had to fight my way through everything. But what he didn't understand was, as I was fighting my way through there, I was getting stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a whole neighborhood full of kids. I became a very, very big tomboy. I loved to play softball. That was my game.
Mm-hmm.
But also, mm-hmm. I was a runner. I was a sprinter growing up, till I messed up, of course. But that's a whole nother story. But yeah, I was very, very athletic. And there wasn't anybody that was going to leave me behind. So I could dig right in there with the boys playing football, everything. So that's how I grew up. So I became very, very strong-willed and strong-minded also. But
and if I recall right, brothers can do that for you. My girls will tell you that. If I recall right, though, don't you still have a record at your old elementary school for like a 50-yard dash?
The 50-yard dash.
Something like that.
Oh, wow.
All these years later, you still have your name on the board for the fastest 50-yard dash. Yeah.
6.4.
That's my mama. So, all right. Real quick, another question for you, Mom. Priscilla wants to know if you are okay with the guys looking at me in a bikini. She wants to compete, but she's afraid about how her mom might view that.
Priscilla, at first it took me back a little bit, okay? No, I wasn't. Oh, the top part didn't bother me. It's the bottoms that bother me. Because when I can see hip bones, no, to me that's a little too far down, but it's the way it is. I mean, I can't expect her, I guess, to wear waist-high bottoms because it's just not going to work. One time she told me that the judges said she needed to cinch the back end up a little bit so they could see her glutes more. And I said, no, they don't need to be looking at your glutes.
But they kind of do have to look at my glutes.
I know, but I still, that's the only part. I still tell her they don't need to be looking at her glutes. I mean, I've come to accept it. Do I like it? No. But that's just being a mom.
Sure.
So your mama may not like it, but I'm very, very proud of Desiree and her accomplishments and her fierceness in the sport. That it is what it is, and now when I look at her, I guess I just don't see that much of it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
But I am very, very supportive. I always have been, always will be.
Yes.
Like I said, she's a good girl. She's not going to do things that are going to be really bad.
Exactly.
No.
So,
okay.
I don't have a problem with her in the sport.
No.
Well, we're
that's say, what the sport entails.
Yes.
That's true.
Exactly.
And I will say
this,
though. I do have to put this out here, though. Of the two of us, Kaylin and I, I'm not the one who was accosted in an elevator by a fan. I've never had those issues.
Oh, my goodness. You can bring that up now.
Now the other one, who also lives in Kentucky, Illinois, he might have had a situation like that in his little posing suit.
Did she scare you, Caitlin? Yeah, I'll tell you about that when tomorrow's Bible study.
Okay.
Get your spoon out, Mom.
Shoot. All right, so real quick, now that I just threw that out there, but he handled it very well, so, Mom, no worries there, Miss Melba.
Okay.
But this question is for Caitlin. It's actually directed to the both of us, but I'm going to turn it over to Caitlin first. Dale wants to know what you are most proud of about your mom.
Oh, wow. For Mom, I would have to say it's a three-parter, and since we deal with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I can get away with it because I've learned that one and one and one equals one. And
mm-hmm.
Mom would be
praise God.
Her love, it would be her compassion, and it would be her consistency. Because what she said when I was five, she can say today, and she can say with the same power and authority, and I'll still hear her as Mom because she's always been consistent. The discipline always came from love. And I'm very proud of when she disciplined me, how she would go about it, because there was an understanding. Not just that you're going through anything or you're going to have to do these things. There was a why to it. And it was easy to understand growing up and dealing with others because if they could answer why, I could pretty much go and do it because it made sense. But that came from an upbringing from Mom. And the compassion, you know, when you're going through some things, you don't really know the extent or the seriousness of it. But people on the outside always do. And she never wavered with that compassion, even to this day. She's always been Mom. And, you know, it always makes me tear up because I just know that I matter. And I did not have that for 5 years. And as a child, no child should go through that understanding of no worth, no value. And Mom would always give me that. And that's what I love about my mother, because she's always been a mother. And she's been there from day five, I guess, up until now. Mm-hmm. She's always been there. You know, even like when a mother can say, that's not how my child behaves, she knows her child. And when she say that with authority and with truth, because, you know, there's a lot of times when I would see mothers, well, I'd say parents, that would say, oh, my child wouldn't do that. And I'd be like, well, yeah, they would, you know. But when Mom said it, she would say it in truth, and it would be basically, yeah, he would do something like that. So, yeah, that's probably my boy. But if it was something that was a lie, she would call people out on it. Because when I was raised up, we couldn't call the adults a lie. It was just not happening. And she would call them out and basically save my behind. And God knows the behind what she saved for me. Because there was a lot of people that just did not understand the way I would do things. So it had to be something wrong in it. And she just knew that wasn't the case. He was doing it, probably did something stupid. But it wasn't with the intent to hurt or harm or something that would, you know, cause anybody grief. And she just knew that. And she would call them out all the time. So that's what I love about my mom. So I'll pass it back to Des.
Oh, my gosh. To keep this brief and not talk a whole another hour about what makes me proud about my mom. So I don't have a three-parter. It's basically a two-parter. But that's okay. First thing is family first with my mom. Just family is always first, and that's where her priority is. It's where it's always been. And, you know, in this day and age, that's kind of a rare thing because that's not the way that it is anymore, unfortunately. In a lot of families, it's still there, but it seems like in even more families, it's not. And so you know, there isn't that closeness that Melba talks about with her siblings or that camaraderie or, you know, just that tight-knit effect. It just doesn't seem to be there like it used to be. So that I appreciate about my mother. Secondly is with my mom, it's always sky's the limit. I mean, that's just always been her perspective. She may not always understand everything 100% from the get-go, but if there is an idea that I've come up with or that my brother or sister have come up with or that one of the grandkids have come up with, she's the one who's on the internet, she's Googling, she's doing whatever it is that she can do to help you with what you're doing, to support you in that and to cheer you on and to help you be the best that you can be. I mean, and she also has that same perspective about herself. You know, she may not have always been able to chase all of her dreams that she had, but it wasn't for lack of trying. And just never giving up and just a very strong can-do attitude. I mean, there's always a way to get something done. I mean, that's just it. There's no other alternative. You either do or you don't. And with her, you're going to do. And so, you know, those two things, I just love to death. I can't really say enough about my mother or just the women in my family all together. Just very blessed with such a strong tribe. I just can't even express it enough. And, you know, to the moon and back, Mom. I mean, always, all always, right. always and forever.
That's right, baby, to the moon and back.
That is wonderful. Beautiful.
So,
well,
growing
up, I didn't have that option of support. My parents both died when I was very young. So it was sink or swim. I made a lot of mistakes along the way. There were some things I can remember about my mother that I said I was going to do different, but Desiree had to call me up one day and say, "Mom," I said, "What?" She goes, "You know, I was talking to one of the kids, and then all of a sudden I was looking for you." And I said, "Why?" And she goes, "Because what I was saying to my children was exactly what you have said to us." And she goes, "I became my mother." And she said, she stopped and she says, "Where is she? I know she's here. Where is she?" So to me, that was a compliment, and it made me giggle. And even though there's probably some things that my girls will tell you that, you know, about me being so strong-minded and strong-headed, sometimes they just don't like. But as they grow older, yeah, I'm there.
Yeah,
she is. She is. And so, and the funny part is, and it's not even related to this, but you know, both of our moms were nervous about being on the show for an hour. They're like, "What? We got to talk on the radio for an hour?" And guess what, ladies? We only have about 5 minutes left.
Oh, my goodness.
So didn't I tell you it was going to go by fast? And you guys have done a tremendous job. And we all made it here till the end.
We made it.
It looks like we have time. We have time for one more question. Samantha wants to know what advice a mother would give to listeners who are struggling to deal with their own mothers. And Melba, we'll start with you, and Elaine, we will end with you. So the question is, what advice do you have to give to listeners who are struggling in dealing with their mothers?
You know, I can't not take the credit. I give it right back to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Life is so much easier to bear when you become to know Christ as your personal Savior. I cannot stress it enough. I cannot impress upon people in this world enough that you will handle death, you will handle finances, you'll handle everything in such a totally different way. One thing being right quick, the scripture in the Bible that says from Jesus is talking, and he says, peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you. The world cannot comprehend the peace that I give. And so anything that comes up in my life, people, they get all out of shape. They get stressed out. They can't handle it. But if Christ is in your life, so I would say seek Jesus first. And any answer that you need is in your Bible. Any answer that you need is in the Word of God.
Very well said, Melba. Okay. And also probably to add to that, your mom has already been through her trials and tribulations and her struggles.
Yes.
Yes.
So they may not express themselves or explain themselves very well, but there's always, always, always a reason behind it. So I guess we just need to find a way on to keep the communication open and make it better. And once you sit down and you really listen to the words that are that they're trying to express to you, and not trying to boss you or not let you do something or telling you you're wrong about something, there's a reason. And you should grab onto their experiences and open up your mind.
Yes.
Ask questions. There's
never,
ever a dumb question. Ask questions.
Never.
They'll be honest with you. I've always been honest with my kids when they've asked me questions, whether I was wrong, right, or whatever. But I always told my kids, you're not going to fool me, because I've been there, I've done it, or I was
there
when it was being done.
Yes.
So, I'm telling you, I made a lot of mistakes growing up. I was very young, very foolish. My children have helped me grow also. So just listen to your parents. I miss mine. I wish I had the experience that most of the kids nowadays have with parents. When somebody tells me that they are my age and they're just now losing a parent at the age of 80 plus or 90, I always tell them, I'm sorry for your loss, but I'm also jealous that you are as old as you are, and you've got to have them this long.
That long, yes.
Yes, because I did not.
Right. I didn't either.
So that makes a difference, too.
Yes, it does. It makes a big difference. Yeah, my mother passed at 52 with cancer.
Mine was 47.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So we can understand.
Oh, definitely.
It's hard. Yeah, very hard.
It was very hard, and I was very angry for a very long time.
Yeah. But I said those very things. These people, the ones that, some that are close to my age that even still have their mother with them now. You know, I just envy, in a way, the fact that they still have their mom, and our mom passed, so young, and it was very heartbreaking. But we don't have time for it. But God even gave me peace over that. The peace that He gave me over it was just unreal. It was beautiful.
Eventually, I got it too, but it was my husband that helped me through it. It took me a long time,
Yeah, I can understand. Makes a big difference.
Well, ladies, that might have to be a whole nother show, because we probably could have a whole show on that topic. I'm sure we could.
Yeah.
But for tonight, I have to say, love you both. Glad you were here with us. Kaylin and I weren't sure how this was gonna go, but I've had a great time. So Thank you very much for taking the time to join us tonight. Kaylin, snickerdoodle shout out.
Snickerdoodle for my mama.
Snickerdoodle for you too. Love you, mama.
On behalf of myself and Kaylin and his mama and my mama and the boys at P4P Muscle, your body is a temple, so let's build it.
With snickerdoodle, love you, mama.